It's draft season. We're breaking down a couple more safety prospects on today's program. What's going on with Deebo Samuel? We're getting some more clues from social media, which is the world we're living in right now. And another image from social media that is getting 49ers fans talking about one offensive lineman. All that coming up on today's show right now.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers. Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker with you once again at BD Peacock, at Eric underscore Crocker on Twitter. We've got a fun episode here today. I'm going to utilize my co-host Eric Crocker to break down a couple of things as it comes to Deebo Samuel's social media. I don't know if he can help me out.
Hold on, Peacock. You said we got a fun episode for them today. Maybe we got a fun episode for them every day.
Well, yeah. I mean, it goes without saying, but, you know, sometimes just like a reminder is like, oh, this is a fun place to be. Like, right. Locked On 49ers, your first listen every day is the place you want to be. And you get here first, you get in line, like, you know, at the ropes in the club in here. And you can't wait till you see that rope move out of the way and the bouncer tells you, come on through, because you are here and you're in the club. And we're talking San Francisco 49ers daily on the Locked On Podcast Network. So, Croc, Deebo Samuel, I know you have some thoughts. We brushed off the scrubbing your social media, changing the photos and things. I didn't think it was a big deal. Maybe with a new generation of players, it's a bigger deal than I think. He's under contract. It's April. Games don't start until September. Training camp doesn't start until July. It's not a big deal at all. But there was something you sent me, and we might have given us a little bit of a clue about what Deebo Samuel is looking for. And I'm going to put it on the screen if you're with us on YouTube. And this is a photo with Deebo Samuel, and he is hanging out with at The Young Five on Instagram. That would be Ricardo Young, who is a restaurateur, it looks like, club owner in the Miami area. And it says, if it ain't $25 million a year, we don't want it. Now, this is not Deebo Samuel's Instagram. This is Ricardo Young's Instagram, and it's a photo of him and Deebo. And then if you look at the replies to this photo, Trent Williams is in there, says, stand on dat business. So he's with whatever's going on here.
I think that's Trent Brown. I think.
Is that Trent Brown? I thought that was Trent Williams. You're right. No, that is Trent. That is Trent Brown. Yeah. Excuse me. A different, very large human being. And then Deebo Samuel replies himself, slime, which is something that you're going to have to translate for me, Croc. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. He wrote slime and a snake emoji, which might have been, to me, not knowing the lingo, thinking that he says that means BS, but apparently that does not mean BS. What does that mean? What's going on here, Croc? What do we take from this?
Yeah, slime. I mean, it's not something I say, but if I'm not mistaken, you know, keep my ear to the ground a little bit, trying to keep up with the young guys.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's like my homie, like my brother.
Okay. So in this case,
like that. So homie, like my brother. Like I'd say something like that, but you know, different parts, you know, they say different things. I think maybe, you know, coming from South Carolina, slime. Yeah. I mean, I hear it in like songs and things like that.
Yeah.
Guys like Young Thug. I know he was saying it, so. You know, it is something that the younger generation, the rappers and stuff, to be saying.
So in this case, the snake emoji is good, and Ricardo Young.
The only other time I think a snake was good was right, being a Black Mamba. So you put the
Black
snake
Mamba. Yeah, right.
But aside from that, you typically don't want to associate snake with people. Typically.
Like a snake in the grass, you don't want to step on a snake. A snake could bite you, right? Like you're venomous. You don't want any part of that.
Snakes are the people in your circle that kind of like prey on your default a little bit.
Yeah, they work behind your back. They're sneaking around.
Right. And, yeah. That's a snake.
But it's funny because he says, if it ain't $25 million a year, we don't want it. And if I'm Deebo Samuel, I'm like, there's no we. You don't have a part of that $25 million. But so I don't know. $25 million sounds like the number, Croc. What do you think about that?
First, before we get into that, there's a couple of things that I kind of, you know, you start to bring things full circle a little bit. And we've talked about it. We kind of brushed it off scrub the account, whatever. You know, okay, you know, throw a little tantrum. New age kids, that's some of the things that they're doing, right? With Kyler Murray, I think it was Trey Sermon. He did it last year. He wasn't kind of getting his way. Probably since then has added the pictures back. Because you could just hit this button. It's called, like, archive. So you don't even have to, like, technically delete the photo. You could just archive it. So it just kind of hides for a little bit.
All right.
But anyways, Deebo Samuel. I feel like I've made it pretty clear. He's my favorite player on the 49ers. I love Deebo Samuel. I love the way Deebo Samuel plays. It seems very clear that he's a favorite of Kyle Shanahan. And it seems like they definitely have an open line of communication. There are some things. And also, the ultimate team player. That's how it comes off, right? Right? On the field. I mean, look at all the different things they asked him to do. And it seems he's embraced it to the point where he calls himself a wideback. But how much has he embraced what kind of comes with the popularity? And what I mean by that is, you know, regardless of what he's doing and all this, that, and the other, and I believe he's going to get paid by the 49ers. But I remember listening to the Mayoko podcast, put out another episode, and kind of circled back around to it. But he was speaking to Deebo Samuel, and he asked Deebo, oh, you know, will you be, you know, training with Trey Lance in the offseason in L.A.? And he's like, no. And it was just like a no, like hell no. And it was just like, okay, you know, ears kind of perk up a little bit. And that kind of, you know, went a little deeper. Like, oh, you know, well, why? And he's like, well, I don't train there. I train in Miami. And it was just interesting because it's like, well, I mean, that's your quarterback, you know? Like, and there wasn't, it felt like it didn't come across as if there were any compromise or anything. It was like almost kind of an attitude to it. Now, he would probably tell you he didn't mean anything by it. He just ain't going out there. But you see circulating on social media today, well, all the receivers are there. Brandon Ayuk, Juwan Jennings, McCloud, even some guys that are like practice squad guys. They're all working out with Trey Lance. And it's like, well, Deebo is the one that's pushing back on it. Now, he has contract stuff going on, and you don't want him to break his foot like he did offseason a couple years ago. But I don't know. It seems – I don't want to say he's changing, but – there's a different kind of vibe I'm getting from him right now. And that's not the Deebo that I've kind of grown to know. And maybe we just don't know Deebo. What is kind of your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. As soon as the story broke about, you know, him changing his avatar and scrubbing the 49ers, all except for one all pro photo of him in a Niners jersey. It didn't seem like Deebo. It didn't seem like something that he would do, because he seems like just he's just down, and he is the type of guy who's going to always show up, and seems like the type of guy that would be an ultimate teammate type of player. And this doesn't seem like that type of a move. And he thinks that, and you know, maybe it's his team, his agents or whatever. Maybe it's his friends. Maybe it's just the way that people are going about things these days, but it just seems like a weird way to go about things and sort of an unnecessary way to go about things. Right. Because it's
what
not
do you think
like
about the
anything
whole
you do
not working out with,
is what's going to get you more money. Like, it has no bearing on anything.
What do you think about not working out with any of the guys in the offseason to this point?
It's
right.
It's,
and we're kind of pushing towards mid-April.
Yeah,
like they report for mini camp or not, you know, OTAs pretty soon, a little bit over a week, and not really, you know, doing anything to kind of get work with guys. Now, again, as long as, you know, he's working, he's getting ready, he's preparing his body in Miami, that's awesome. But typically, you see receivers kind of, you know, all right, let me go and get some work with my, let me go get some work with my quarterback, let me go get some work with Ayuk and McCloud, you know, guys that are new, Juwan Jennings, they're all there training with Trey Lance.
Or you see a lot where guys work out in one place, but then for a couple of weeks they go across the coast, right? Or they go to the whatever city that the other guys, their teammates are working out with. They work out for a couple of weeks and they go back again at their home base. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's not working out with them at all. But it does, it's clearly something, right? Like, he's purposely not working out with the rest of his teammates in the passing game and his future quarterback.
I live in Arkansas, right? And, you know, I have two kids in California. So, I mean, you could probably tell everybody how often I'm traveling. to California pretty often. But I live here in Arkansas. I do my thing in Arkansas. I do my podcasting. I'm building my gym. But even then, I still every weekend or every other weekend, I fly to California. You know, a few days there, see the kids, do some things with them. It doesn't take much to just go somewhere for a couple of days and get some working with your guy.
Yeah. 2 days ago, we did a podcast. You were in the same room you're sitting right now. And in between those two podcasts, you were in another state.
Right. Two other states. I went to California and I went to Vegas. Right. So, you know, it's like, maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's nothing. But to me, it comes off a little weird. And Debo, love him. I love the football. I love the tenacity he brings. I don't think anybody's ever going to question that aspect of Debo Samuel. But are you all in on this? Because another thing that's very clear, it's that the 49ers have made it clear, well, we're going to sign him and we're working on it.
Yeah.
And they've said that it's a priority of theirs. And maybe the timeline doesn't match up with what Debo wants. Maybe the money right now, because you know how negotiations go. They're going to come in really low. Debo's camp is going to come in really high. And they're going to work, you know, together as possible to come to a common ground. Like, it is going to happen, I'd assume, unless they're like, why the hell is he acting like this? I mean, shoes, you know, they just traded DeForest Buckner, and he was the best player on the defense and gave them zero issues. Yeah. You know, so it's interesting that I'll say that, just the whole dynamic and how it's all coming across to me.
It is interesting. It was a 0 out of 10 worry a week ago about Debo Samuel. Maybe it could creep up to a 2 or 3 out of 10 worry right now. Still not worried. Debo's going to sign, you know, business is business, as Trent Brown said. But it's a little bit more awkward than I think it needs to be, or more awkward than I expected it to be with Debo Samuel. And yeah, he's going to get paid, and I think he's going to get paid by the 49ers. But you brought up OTAs, Croc. Let's talk about that a little bit next. Will Debo even show up to OTAs if he doesn't get his new contract going into his last year until things start getting mandatory? And I want to talk about Skinny, Mike McGlinchey, a couple of safety prospects, Lewis Seen and Nick Cross coming up. But first, let's talk about betonline.net, your number one source for all your betting stats and sports information. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs in the NBA and the start of the Major League Baseball season. Had fun with my baseball drafts, my fantasy drafts this week. And wasn't sure there was going to be a baseball season, but I love betting on baseball when
is here. Shout out to the Giants, 2-1 so far. Oof. First game of this was amazing. BetOnline.net. They got all the lines. Go ahead, put your money on the Giants because they're looking good right now.
Dude. And again, underrating the Giants as hard as you can. That's an easy over, right? 107 wins last year. Come on. No brainer. Believe in Farhan Zaidi. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs to esports to the NFL draft. Lots of props there for the draft, which are super fun, and more. So get over to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action at BetOnline, where the game starts. And don't forget to follow Locked On NFL. You're going to see a lot of me on Locked On NFL coming up, not only for the NFL draft, but the Peacock and Williamson NFL show is going to jump onto YouTube very soon. And we're going to be on the Locked On NFL YouTube channel. So follow along to Locked On Experts every day, free and available wherever you get your podcast, just like Locked On 49ers is. Maybe Debo, Croc, when the 49ers meet for OTAs in Santa Clara, it's still going to be in Miami. Maybe that's what he's trying to say. Maybe he's not going to show up until mandatory minicamps, until it starts hitting his pocketbook, right? Until he starts getting fined for not being in training camp. Is that the way this negotiation is going to go? Again, I don't think it needs to be that way, but it's looking like it might head toward that direction.
I'm wondering, and the first thing you have in a situation like this is the agent, right? But we'll be curious to see, does AJ Brown and DK Metcalf show up, because don't they have the same agent as Debo Samuel?
Are they all reps by Roc Nation? Is that right?
I believe they have. That's what I saw. I haven't fact checked it, so maybe I should look up that before. I did see that they all have the same agents. So to be curious how it all plays out, who gets the most money and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, as far as OTAs goes, you would hope that he goes. 49ers have had great participation through OTAs. Everyone else has pretty much showed up and gotten their contract, whether it's know, Fred Warner and George Kittle and the guys that have been made the highest paid player at their position at one point or another. And they didn't skip out on those things. So I don't know if they were rewarded for it or if it was just going to happen regardless. And again, we are kind of jumping the gun a little bit because we're reacting to the, I don't want to say antics, but, you know, things that Deebo Samuel's kind of putting out there subliminally.
This is the off season, and we're reacting to some pretty dumb stuff that I don't know if it.
I don't think this is dumb, Peacock. Like this is serious
business. Like, it's hard for me to be like, oh man, a couple of, a couple of Twitter bio, Instagram bio, and a photo. And it's like, okay, you want $25 million? Cool. A lot of people want $25 million. It's going to go how it's going to go. And the negotiation, I mean, this is what happens. It's his first time negotiating too. So, I'm not worried about it. He's under contract, so.
When I say it's not nothing, like, I just think it's not nothing. The fact that this is happening, like, obviously, because it's the offseason, you know, well, of course, we're going to talk about all this that's going on, but it's not like this stuff has to happen. Like, Deebo Samuel is deliberately doing it.
Yeah. No, you're right.
So, and look, there is something to that.
And Kyler Murray got crushed for being, you know, sort of childish and, you know, maybe not a pro or a little aloof as it pertains to. How he acts with the team, and he did the same stuff, right? So if we're going to say that stuff about Kyler Murray, then I guess the same goes for Deebo Samuel if he's going to pull this, you know, this social media stuff. But I don't know.
Well, people like Deebo more.
Yeah, they do. My
brother's a Dallas Cowboy fan. Like, Deebo is his favorite player. Like, he loves Deebo. Like, he's my favorite. He's everybody's favorite player. I feel like Deebo is your player's favorite player.
Yeah, he is. You know, that's exactly what he is. Yeah, he's so fun to watch. He was the 49ers MVP last year. And look, no matter what happens, as long as Jimmy Garoppolo's not on the roster, Deebo Samuel is going to be the highest paid 49er, including quarterbacks, because he's going to, you know, he's trying for the highest. Everyone wants to be highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. He's going to be the highest paid 49er, period, when he signs his next deal. As long as Jimmy Garoppolo's not on the roster. And he probably asks for even more money than that.
Yeah, some good football players. He's probably the best of those guys, right? Unless Nick Bosa goes and just has an amazing year. But even then, I mean, this is a guy we're talking about that carried the 49ers. So, again, just kind of back to the original point. It does – all of this comes off as silly, but it's not nothing.
Yeah, okay. That's fair. I want to talk about another image that's been rolling around social media recently. And I saw it once and I thought, man, is it a bad angle? What's going on? There's a photo circulating of Mike McGlinchey. And I don't know who he's with in this photo because I've seen it so many times now. But it's Mike McGlinchey with a couple of folks just taking a nice little photograph. And the gentleman that he's with, it looks like they're at a restaurant. And the gentleman that he's with has a Joe Staley apron, which I have one of those exact aprons that I like to wear when I'm doing some barbecuing in the backyard. It's a fantastic a football game once.
What does McGlinchey have on it? Is he about to barbecue, or is that autographed?
There's autographs on his shirt. I don't know what this is. I don't know what it came from. I'm sure some folks out there could tell us at BD Peacock, at Eric_Crocker. I've seen the same image just circulating. And I don't know if it's because they're kind of squeezing him. And he's got a, for those of you who can't see the photo, it's Mike McGlinchey, who's very tall, and he's with a man and a woman, and they're, you know, on either side of him. And so maybe they're kind of squeezing him and it makes him look more svelte than he actually is. But in this photograph, Mike McGlinchey, if I had to guess, looks like he's about 7'1" and 135 pounds. He looks skinny and very tall.
Now, clearly, Peacock is exaggerating a little bit, but knowing that McGlinchey is 6'8", he does look like about 245.
He looks really slim in this photo.
And that's not ideal in Mike McGlinchey. You're as tall as he is and you play the position that he does.
That was a thing that Mike McGlinchey has dealt with, right? He didn't have that strong base and he would get pushed back a little bit and he got a little bit stronger and it looked like he was playing better because of that. Then he had the injury and maybe it's hard for him to work out because he's got that torn quad and who knows when this photo was taken, but and maybe it's an optical illusion. I don't know. But judging by this photo, it's like, does he have time to get up to 310, 20 pounds? Like, he needs to be big. He needs to even be bigger than he already was. And he looks a lot smaller than he already was.
The man next to him isn't like this big guy, right? And he looks wider than McGlinchey.
Yes. And he's not built like a professional athlete.
He's not big. Like, you know, he's not like, you know, you think of like just a big person that's kind of like sloppy shape. Like, it doesn't look like that. It still looks wider than Mike McGlinchey.
And he might weigh as much as Mike McGlinchey. Yeah. And he's about a foot and a half shorter. So that's very interesting. And I don't know. I need some more background on what that photo is. But when I saw that, I was like, wait a second. I saw it a few times. And the second time I really looked at it, I was like, man, he does look really skinny. Mike McGlinchey is extremely skinny there. Maybe it's an optical illusion. I don't know. But anyway.
So I have a question for you then, Peacock.
Yeah.
It's not an illusion. And he legitimately is 6'8", 245 pounds. Then what?
I'm drafting a tackle.
Okay.
I'm a little bit worried about his look because his level of play wasn't at we're going to re-sign this guy for big money after we give big money to Bosa, after we give big money to Deebo Samuel. And well, actually, McGlinchey's contract will come up before Bosa's. But with all the contracts the 49ers have to do, McGlinchey would not have been on my list of guys that you're going to pay like a guy that you drafted in the top 10 at an offensive tackle, which is a position that makes a lot of money in the NFL. So it's a sneaky need for the 49ers going forward. Is Jalen Moore that guy? And then you have the quad issue and looking at his size right now, it does make you a little bit worried about what McGlinchey's going to look like to start the season. And if he's going to be ready, if the quad is going to be ready, it was a really gnarly injury that some players never come back from. And then seeing how skinny he is too, even if he is healthy and on the field, I mean, again, I don't know. It's one photo. It's one angle. Maybe he's not as small as it looks right there.
You know, I will say this. You know, you talk about having to draft a tackle. Here's the tough thing. The Niners actually have good depth across the offensive line. I believe they have good depth. They are looking for the guy, right? Like, at left guard. Like, they need the guy. Right guard, they need the guy. Right tackle. And McGlinchey is 240 pounds. Like, they need a guy. They have depth there. You know, there are guys. Jalen Moore. You know, McKivitz. You know, school is coming back. Like, where, somebody goes down, okay, like, these guys can fill in. But who's the guy? And I think at 61, same with edge rusher. You know, edge rusher, it's a need. Everybody wants that edge rusher. At edge rusher, and we are going to talk about something that's coming up next, but are you getting, like, that guy? Throwing a guy into with this, you know, that's in the same caliber as the guys that you currently already have on your roster?
That's a good question. I want to talk a little bit about that. How do you attack it? Is it BPA? Is it a position of need that the 49ers go for at 61 and a couple of safeties? One likely won't be there, but maybe in range to move up for. And another one is 61 too high. Lewis Cine and Nick Cross, a couple of safety prospects the Niners could nab on day two of the draft next. What about Built Bar? I'm looking at builtbar.com right now. Caramel Almond Delight sold out. But a brand new flavor for this holiday in the spring, Yellow Chirps. It is 80 calories, 8 grams of protein, only 6 grams of sugar. If you like your little birdie, yellow birdie treats around the holiday, Yellow Chirps might be for you in a much healthier version for your Easter candy feast, right? And that's why you eat Built Bars, because they are a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go find yourself some Yellow Chirps, or how about caramel brownie batter puffs? Unbelievable. Raspberry cheesecake, coconut marshmallow, all the puff flavors of Built Bars, the first ever protein infused marshmallow. And you can find it all at built.com. Most Built Bars contain only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, only 4 grams of net carbs, and a whopping 17 grams of protein. You can feel good about eating it. It keeps you satisfied, and you don't completely wreck your diet by grabbing that candy bar that is, you know, 250, 300 calories, 30 grams of sugar. That is what you are trying to avoid. So go to built.com, get the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, but is much better for you. Mint brownie, coconut, almond, whatever flavor you want, or get a mixed box of Built Bars at built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. That is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. So we've identified a number of needs for the 49ers. I don't think one really stands out, and we've had to actually fill out top 5 needs for the 49ers for something we're doing with the network. And it's like, it's not 1 through 5. It's just like, here's a group of positions. whatever the best player is, take one from that group, right? That's kind of the way I feel about it. Interior offensive line, maybe offensive tackle should be in there. Edge, wide receiver, safety, nickel, corner, maybe some versatility with one of those players that can do, that can play strong safety and play in the nickel. Maybe versatility of an offensive lineman that could play center and guard or tackle and guard, or who knows, maybe even center and tackle, right? Which is a pretty rare type of a prospect, but I think that's what we're looking at.
Well, I'll say this, Peacock, too. At pick 61, who's most likely able to and make an impact? And I would say, like, that guy typically isn't going to be a tackle or an edge rusher, right? Because those guys are valued so high. Tackles and edge rushers, they're like that, the guy that's going to come in and play, like, they're going first round. And they for sure ain't going pick 61, right?
Yeah,
like, they typically
don't
get – you'd have to get lucky where all of a sudden it's amazing. But some of the other positions you mentioned, nickel corner. You can get a nickel corner at 61 and come in and play right now. Receiver. Oh, yeah. You can get a receiver come in and play right now.
Safety.
For sure, right? So I think, although edge and tackle might be more of a priority, but again, we're looking for that guy. It's not just a body to be thrown there. I think a guy that can come in and play right now, it'd probably be one of the three positions I just mentioned.
Speaking of safeties, I was a little bit surprised. There's a safety prospect out of Georgia, Lewis Seen, who I love. And Croc, you went as far as to say that he's your number one safety in this class. And he's someone that could slip into the second round. Now, he might surprise a lot of people and go a lot higher. He might even go ahead of Kyle Hamilton in the draft. He might go higher in the first round than people expect. I think he's got every box checked. I love Lewis Seen. He is smart. He plays smart on the field. He is fast. He can cover and he can thump people. Like, he's everything you're looking for in a safety. If that guy starts to creep toward pick 50, are you on the phone, Croc? Are you trying to get up to get Lewis Seen, even though there's some other good safeties in this class that might be a little more value later?
Give me Lewis Seen. And if it doesn't work out, you guys can blame Eric Crocker. I mean, this guy plays with this level of tenacity, closing speed. It doesn't matter if it's a receiver catching the ball in space. He closes extremely fast. A running back running in space, maybe he's trying to hit the corner. He's coming fast. He's trying to knock heads off. I've seen him lose a couple battles. Or a battle with Brian Robinson from Alabama, who runs extremely hard. Robinson runs hard.
He's a big back. I mean, 6'1", 235, right?
Yeah, and like 25, all muscle. Okay. And he knocked Seen back one time on the sideline. Then Seen then back down. Next time he came just as high, right, throwing his entire body into him. I'm like, man, I like this guy's ability. And then you watch him in the off coverage, where in like pure coverage playing – basically, man, cover four is like a match. So, I mean, him as a two high safety, having to run with a vertical guy, terrific. Guys can't run away from him. You know why? Because he ran in the – and he plays just as fast. 49ers had an issue a couple years ago. A lot of y'all watching the show or listening to it might remember this play. Against Green Bay Packers, 49ers were depleted with injuries. I don't think Deebo Samuel, none of those guys played. So, it's that game. Well, I think the 49ers were down to safety because they had at too high. It was Marcel Harris and Valdez-Scantling screaming up the field, just ended up kind of running by him and caught touchdown. Right. Well, with Lewis Seen, he has the ability to match, turn and run and get his head back around with the best of receivers in space. Right. So, I mean, he fits everything that I think you need as a safety in today's day and age.
Lewis Seen, 6'2", 200 pounds at the combine, 4.37, 40-yard dash, and he plays with some serious speed as well. I don't want to spend too much time on Lewis Seen, Croc, because I don't think he's going to get there for the 49ers, and he might not get out of round one, but a player that will be there very likely for the 49ers at 61 and maybe even 93. And I'll ask you at the end of this where you like him. Do you like him more round two? Do you like him more round three? And that is Nick Cross out of the University of Maryland. And a lot of folks have asked us about Cross. We both finally had a chance to watch more of Cross and have a thorough evaluation of him as a player. And I've seen him in a ton of mock drafts to the 49ers on day two, both round two and round three. What were your thoughts on the strong safety prospect, Nick Cross, out of Maryland?
All right. So a couple of things, I guess, start off with a positive, right? I really like how he's able to disguise his coverage. He'll start down really low, come out high, playing the tie, kind of disguising and rolling to a single high, plays a multiple of positions in the secondary, not just an MOF guy. I mean, again, too high, do those type of things. That's awesome. I thought he had the ability to match guys in space. I talked about Lewis Cien and how excellent he was. Now, it doesn't quite like Lewis Cien because I think he's a little bit more twitched up, more quick-footed, but he has the ability to do it, and I think that's good. I thought from a movement standpoint, he wasn't as footed as I ideally would like, or at least what I think you kind of have to start to need in today's day and age. Again, I talked about getting matched up with Valdez-Scantling and screaming up the seam. Well, you got to be twitched up enough to be able to turn around with that guy, or if he breaks off his route and does a dig, can you flip your hips back around and be able to cut off that route? And that's not something that's easy, right? I mean, it's difficult. It's difficult for anyone. But do you at least have that in your bag? Because if you don't, teams start to attack things like that. And I think you'll start to see more of attacking a weakness in the secondary, if like Hufanga is out there. I think he's a good football player, but he's not the best athlete. So, you know, teams might start to try to take advantage of areas he might be a little bit more vulnerable, like they did against Arizona, where they had Christian Kirk run down the middle of the field and Hufanga just got ran by. That's not well. When I look at Nick Cross, I think he can do it to where, you know, I wouldn't mind taking him at 61 or, like you said, 93. But I don't know if – now, he ran the fastest 40 out of all the safeties, 4-4 official, I believe it was.
Yeah, 4-3-4 at the combine. And his stock is raised up a lot. And I think it got a lot of 49ers fans' ears perked up. They're like, wait a second. Yeah. We need a strong safety. 4-3-4. I'm very interested in this Nick Cross guy.
And my note says play speed doesn't match 4-3-4. At least from what I've seen. Like that doesn't jump off to me. Now, that's not to say that he can't show it at a time or another, but I just sat there, I just watched three games, I watched all 22. And this thing that popped off the screen to me, you know, as opposed to when I just turned on Lewis Cien. And maybe Lewis Cien has kind of messed up my perception of what some of these other guys are supposed to look like because I just maybe was that high on them. But I think that Nick Cross is a solid football player. That's why I came across thinking, hey, it's a good football player. If you look at a guy like Jaquiski Tartt, I think he's more in that mode as opposed to Jimmy Ward, even though typically what I'm looking for is more of Jimmy Ward. And Tartt's a good football player as well. So it's not like, oh, man, Tartt, oh, no, that's not. No, Tartt's damn good. I think there is a potential for that. But, again, even then, I didn't see the plays that jump off to me. So, like, even when you're watching Tartt and he's running that alley and he's taking – I mean, he's running full speed. He's taking – I didn't see any of that I watched from Nick Cross. And just full disclosure, I don't watch highlights. So if y'all watch highlights, no, he for sure does that. Then I miss that because I don't watch. I just watch the all 22.
I have seen some of those plays, and it's funny because you on paper you see Nick Cross, you see 6 feet, 212, and he's a rocked up dude, you know, 5'11", 6 feet, and ran a 4.34. Like, wow, okay, well, Lewis Cien, you know, that looks just about as good on paper as Lewis Cien, but they definitely play different, and I think you nailed it with the feet and the hips. That's where they're very different players, and I've seen Nick Cross, once he sees it, once he gets downhill, and I've seen him close on dudes really quickly. I've seen him bring some thump. Like, he can do all of those things, and he's really fast, and he can actually cover some range sideline to sideline in coverage. But where Nick Cross, I get worried about him is that lateral movement and change of direction and flipping your hips and running with guys, or you know, the feet in short areas, because I think he's got long speed. I think you see that when you see him come downhill from safety and he'll hit a guy who got a wide pitch on the outside and he hits him before he even gets to the line of scrimmage. Like, he can get downhill and get somebody quick and he can cover some ground and he's fast and he comes with intentions and he'll lodge some balls out as well. But I think play to play, he doesn't play as impactful as Lewis Cien. But he's going to go a lot later than Lewis Cien, too. But, yeah, I worry about
or not. You said he's climbing, right? And well, now, again, somebody might see it and view it the same way you do, where you might be a little higher. And, again, it's not that I think he's a bad football player. I walked away. But it's just hard when you go from – I watched Lewis Cien against Alabama and how he's flying around, how he's running with these guys effortlessly. And then I watched Nick Cross and, like, you know, it's cool.
Yeah, he's good. Cool. He's good. But yeah, maybe you watched him in the wrong order. You watched Nick Cross first, and then you wouldn't have been as disappointed going from Lewis Cine to Nick Cross. And it, not right. a disappointing football player, really good football player. I have a feeling, and I said this about Drake Jackson on the last episode, he could go in that area, 61, and I wouldn't be upset if the 49ers took him at 61. I feel like there might be a player I like more and be willing to wait to the third round, 93, 105, see if Nick Cross is still there. Then I think that'd be some pretty darn good value, because I do think he can be a starting strong safety in the league.
Yeah, and that would be good to have a safety. Like you said, he has a size, right? 5'11", 6', 212 pounds, ran as fast as he did. There's probably a lot of ability.
And there's so many 4.3 guys that you can't really even bank on that, right? Like in past years. Like in past years, if you're 6 feet, 212, you ran a 4.34, it'd be crazy. But so many other guys ran 4.3s too. It's like, oh, that doesn't even stand out that much. And so you kind of got to add some time to it to make it match up with past years, because everyone ran so fast at the combine on that crazy fast service this year.
Yeah.
Good prospect, though. Nick Cross out of Maryland. He's a player I like. A lot of listeners asked about Nick Cross, so I wanted to make sure we got to him on today's show. We're going to get to a ton of other prospects as well. Maybe a couple more edge rushers later on this week in Alex Wright out of UAB and Cam Thomas from San Diego State are on the list. If you want us to add more players to the list, we'll be talking about a lot of players that we think could be there and should be there and could be fits for the 49ers in that day two area and beyond, as we lead up to the NFL draft. Thanks for making Locked On 49ers your first listen. For your second listen, check out Croc doing Locked On NFL Draft. I'm doing the Peacock and Williamson show every day. Croc and I back tomorrow right here, Locked On 49ers.
Go Giants.